The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service banned the importation and interstate transportation of four non-native constrictor snakes because the invasive species have been threatening the Everglades and other sensitive ecosystems across the United States. Dan Ash, director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, joins us now to explain the ban and the problem that these invasive species present. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Which species of snakes does this ban apply to?
It applies to the Burmese python, the North and South African python, and the yellow anaconda.
They're all constrictors?
They're all giant constrictors. These are snakes that can grow to exceed well over 20 feet in length and over 200 pounds in weight. These are giant constrictor snakes.
Well, the only constrictors I've ever heard of before now are boa constrictors. They're not a problem?
Boa constrictors are one of the species that we looked at. We looked at nine species of snake, and the four that we decided to ban last week, and that rule is published in the Federal Register yesterday. Those snakes were all ranked as high risk for invasiveness and for ecological damage. The boa constrictor was also ranked as a high risk, but there was a lot substantial amount of concern about impact on the trade, because boa constrictor is one of the most highly traded species. So we have decided to move forward on the four snakes I mentioned, and then continue considering the remaining five snakes.
Well, how did these snakes even get to Florida? When did they first start appearing in the wild?
It's believed that they established a population in the wild, and of course the one that is of most concern currently is the Burmese python. It is well established in the Everglades ecosystem. We don't have an exact population estimate, but it's believed that the population is in the tens of thousands of these snakes.
Wow.
They're believed to have been escaped from pet owners, or deliberately released by pet owners who no longer had the space or the tolerance for a snake that large.
And the Everglades and other wild areas in Florida are conducive to their thriving? Tens of thousands, a lot of Burmese pythons.
It is. And, of course, it's an expansive wilderness, the Everglades and the surrounding areas, and subtropical environment, and the snakes do very well. And our risk analysis also show that it is possible that the snakes could also establish wild populations in other parts of Florida, in Louisiana, in South Texas, and the Pacific Islands like Hawaii or Guam, and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. So it's a Florida problem today, but potentially could be a much broader problem, which is why we wanted to get ahead of this and ban the interstate commerce and importation in these species.
What do they eat, and are they dangerous for humans?
Well, they're voracious predators, and they eat just about anything that they can catch. One of the things that we're concerned about in the Everglades is some of the recent science has shown that up to 25% of their diet is consuming birds, and these are some rare birds, including a wood stork, which is an endangered species. And so we're very concerned about the effect on conservation as a whole. But they have eaten alligators, they have eaten 76-pound deer, and they have killed humans in captivity. No one has been killed in the wild by one of these, but humans have been harmed and killed by these snakes in captivity.
Do they have any natural predators in this environment? The mongoose, I gather, is good at going after these kinds of snakes. Are there any mongooses in the Everglades?
There are not. Mongoose typically I would go after smaller snakes like cobra and things like that. And right now in the Everglades environment, they have no natural predators, which is part of the problem for them. And before we would import any biological agent like a mongoose or similar predator, we'd have to go through pretty exhaustive study. The mongoose is a good case in point. In places like the Caribbean and in Hawaii and places like that, mongoose were brought in to control rats, but they this was long ago, and the homework wasn't done, and people didn't realize that mongoose were diurnal, that is, they're out during the day, and rats are nocturnal, they're out during the night. And so mongoose were never an effective control agent against rats.
Although in other situations where frogs have been brought in to control other pests in Australia, they wind up becoming the problem. But in the right. case of these invasive species that we have been seeing, not just the snakes in Florida, but also the Asian carp that threatens the Great Lakes, or the Asian longhorn beetle that threatens forests in the Northeast, is the fact that they are from other places and don't have natural predators here one of the big problems?
It is, and we're seeing invasive species as a whole is an area of huge consequence for the conservation of native species. We have about 1,300 species of endangered or threatened animals and plants in the United States, and about 400 of those are one of the principal threats to those species are invasive species and competition with invasive species, including some of the ones that you mentioned.
So how do we track these snakes down and eradicate them?
Well, it's difficult, as in the terminology of biologists, they're cryptic, meaning they're hard to find in the natural environment. They hunt by being still and being hard to see, and so they're prey kind of essentially walks right up to them. So they're very difficult to find, but we are employing snake-sniffing dogs. We are working with the scientific community to design a new generation of traps for these animals. And so our hope is that once we get the trade under control, so that we're controlling the import of additional snakes into places like Florida, that we can then get on top of the population itself and learn how to better control them in the wild environment. And we're working very hard with our partners on that.
Well, some have said that the ban is 30 years too late. So has this problem been brewing for a long time?
We've been actively looking at this since about 2006. The population certainly started establishing well before that, but it was about the early 2000s that we really began to realize that this was an escalating problem and we needed to get on top of it. Like any problem like this, you know, we're a day late and a dollar short, but the important thing is that we are beginning to deal with it. And the regulation that we published the other day is a step forward. It's not a silver bullet, but it's a significant step forward, and we're working with the Park Service, the State of Florida, the South Florida Water Management District, and others to begin to step up our efforts to control the population in the wild and better understand what the impacts of the population are on the native flora and fauna in the Everglades.
So I was always afraid of going to the Everglades because of the alligators. Now it turns out I have to fear the snakes instead. Dan Ash is director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for asking me.